Truth in the Thunder, Love in the Lightning, a story by 429 Car Crash. This story is rated mature and no archive warnings apply. Fandoms are Marvel and DC, and the relationships are Clint Barton slash Roy Harper and James Bucky Barnes slash Clint Barton slash Roy Harper. Additional characters include Leanne Harper and Lucky from the Hawkeye. Additional tags: Alternate Universe, Western, Get Together Fic, Established Couple Picks Up a Matching Stray, Canon Typical Violence, Retired Mercenaries, Happy Ending, Warm Fuzzies, Crossovers and Fandom Fusions. Summary. You planning on causing trouble, Bucky? No, I wouldn't. I don't want nothing bad to happen. Doesn't mean it won't, though. Trouble comes looking for you. We'll handle it. There's a storm on the way. Roy stared out at the horizon, the clear sky stretching on for miles in contrast to the warning he could feel deep in his bones. How long do we have? I'm not sure. Two hands slid around his hips and a chin hooked over his shoulder. Knowing Clint and how functional he usually wasn't this early in the morning, that unsubtle maneuver had been done with his eyes still closed. Roy leaned into the embrace, appreciating Clint's constant and unwavering steadiness. Come back to bed. We can weather whatever they throw at us. He shouldn't. He should try to figure out what was coming, or, barring that, at least get started on the day's chores. But it was hard to convince himself to do something useful, when Leanne wouldn't be up for another hour at least, and Clint was nosing at his neck with intent. They stuck close to the house for the next few days, skipping their usual weekly trip into town. Leanne was disappointed, but Roy managed to appease her with some extra cookies after dinner, and a pinky promise that they'd go visit Mrs. Gower's goats sometime soon. He mentally resigned himself to the fact that they'd be coming back with at least one goat from that visit, based on the way Clint and Leanne's faces had both lit up at the suggestion. Still, he couldn't argue against the utility, all right, or the cuteness, of a goat gambling around the place, eating the nasty weeds he never seemed to have time to trim back, and providing them with milk and cheese even when the weather became too bad to trade with any of the dairy farms in the area. They'd become good enough at farming crops by now. Maybe it was time to expand into livestock anyway. Goats were pretty self-sufficient and didn't need a lot of minding. He'd just need to fix up the barn a bit. And once they finally fixed up the barn, well, it wouldn't take much more to make a little coop and get a flock of chickens. Leanne was old enough she could collect eggs, right? Focusing on the farm and what they could do to improve it was helpful, but never quite enough to distract Roy from the unexplained weight hanging around his shoulders and growing heavier with each day that passed. He almost gave it up as a false warning. Almost. And then one day, one soft, idyllic summer day, with fluffy white clouds scuttling across a brilliant blue sky, Leanne came pelting up to him in the field with Lucky close on her heels. "Daddy needs you at the barn," she announced breathlessly. "Slow down, sweetheart," Roy said automatically. "What did you say?" "Daddy needs you at the barn," she repeated, bouncing a little with impatience. "Does he?" Clint wasn't supposed to be working on the barn today. He had planned to head out to the far western cornfields. If he'd changed his plan and then deliberately sent Leanne away from the barn. "All right, sweetheart, I'll go help Daddy at the barn. How about you take Lucky back to the house and the two of you have some quiet time until dinner, all right?" "Okay, Papa." She gave him a quick hug and then pelted off towards the house, Lucky running joyfully after her. Roy waited, watching carefully until she and Lucky got inside the house and closed the door behind them, then turned his gaze to the barn. He sighed, shook his head, and started walking over, careful to make as little noise as possible, just in case. He could see Clint digging in the dirt off to the side of the barn door, but as he got closer, it was obvious that he wasn't really digging with purpose, just aimlessly pushing the shovel into the ground periodically, while he kept his eyes on Roy's approach. Roy could take a hint. He kept his pace smooth and steady, signing out a question while he walked. "Someone in the barn," Clint signed back quickly in answer. You sure? Clint shrugged. Footprints in the mud, coming in from the west. None leaving. Roy's frown deepened. There was only one way in or out of the barn. He and Clint had boarded up the back entrance once it was clear that the old door was too rotten to save, which could make the person inside feel like they were trapped and needed to fight their way out. Couldn't be helped, though, he decided. They couldn't just ignore this and hope the problem went away. He nodded at Clint, who laid his shovel down, pulled a knife to hand instead, and waved Roy forward to breach the barn first. They didn't bother trying to conceal their entrance. The hinges on the door always squealed like they were getting pinched anyway, so any attempt at stealth would have been immediately irrelevant. Even so, it was odd that their unexpected visitor didn't attack or confront them immediately. That's what Roy would have done if he'd heard someone come into his hiding place, rush the door and hope to make it out and through without any injuries. The interior of the barn was a mess, just like it had been the last time they'd been in here. It wasn't easy to search the place given the amount of debris and junky old machines, but eventually they made it through until the only place left was the very last horse stall. The man crouched inside looked, well, he looked pretty rough, to be honest. He had long, unkempt hair and torn and dirty clothes, with one sleeve hanging loose and empty where there was no longer an arm to occupy it. He also had a wary, hunted look on his face that Roy didn't like one bit. "Hi," Clint said. Soft and calm, like this was a perfectly normal interaction and not, basically, a standoff between two armed parties. The man stared at him for a long, tense moment, then flicked his eyes over to Roy, who was keeping a stoic expression on his face. They didn't know who this man was or what his motivations might be. They'd get the information out of him one way or another. It didn't matter much to Roy whether they got it through charm or through intimidation. "Hello?" the man finally replied, his eyes still on Roy, voice gravelly like maybe he hadn't used it in a while. "Sorry for trespassing. Thought this place was abandoned." Clint visibly relaxed his shoulders, though Roy knew that didn't mean he had let his guard down. "Yeah, barn's not in the best shape. I can see why you'd think that," he said with a small, rueful laugh, neglecting to mention the fields full of freshly growing corn that the man had also trespassed through. "I'm Clint. This is Roy." The man looked back and forth between them warily. "Bucky," he offered cautiously. "Nice to meet you, Bucky," Clint said, resheathing his knife in an act of good faith that Roy wasn't quite convinced was a good idea yet. "Any particular reason you were looking for somewhere abandoned to hole up in?" The tension that had slowly been inching its way off Bucky's face came back all at once, and for one horrible moment, Roy thought maybe this would devolve into a fight after all. "Just trying to get out of the weather," he said eventually. "Don't want any trouble. I'll be on my way. You don't have to worry." Something about that didn't sit right with Roy, and he knew without looking that Clint didn't like it either, even though 5 minutes ago, they'd been ready to fight this man off if necessary to defend their home. "You need somewhere to stay for a bit. You can stay with us," Clint offered. "Ain't exactly an easy life out here. Gotta look out for each other as best we can." "I wouldn't want to impose," Bucky said hesitantly, a soft drawl sneaking its way into his words. "Plenty of work around here, if you're willing," Roy chimed in. "Too much sometimes," Clint added. "At least, too much for two adults, 1 5-year-old, and a dog who thinks his main and only job is to steal food off the closest dinner plate." Bucky's eyes widened slightly at the mention of Leanne and Lucky, which Roy knew Clint had included very deliberately, but he didn't say anything. "At least stay for dinner," Clint said, offering his hand. "You don't have to make any decisions yet." That seemed to be a good enough compromise. Bucky nodded and clasped Clint's hand, using it to help pull himself up to standing. "We probably have some clothes that'd fit you too," Clint added as they walked out of the barn. "Oh, I don't... What is this we nonsense?" Roy said, interrupting what was almost certainly going to be Bucky repeating once again that he didn't want to be a burden. "You're a fucking giant, Clint, with those long-ass legs of yours. I will give him some of my extra clothes, that way he might actually be able to wear them without tripping." Clint laughed joyfully, and even Bucky cracked a small smile. "Fine, fine, you sort him out with some clothes. I'll go get the tiny terror and her shadow ready for dinner time." They split up once inside the house, Clint heading for Leanne while Roy led Bucky into the back bedroom. "I appreciate you doing this," he said, once they were alone and away from Clint's dogged cheerfulness. I know it'd be easier to shoo me off, away from your family. Probably safer, too. Roy raised an eyebrow, unable to help himself. You planning on causing trouble, Bucky? Bucky shook his head immediately. No, I wouldn't. I don't want nothing bad to happen. Doesn't mean it won't, though, he added quietly. A serious, slightly heartbroken look on his face that immediately raised up the worst of Roy's protective instincts. Trouble comes looking for you, we'll handle it, he said, a little sharper than was warranted for someone who was still effectively a stranger. He covered his emotional whiplash by rummaging through the chest of clothes, pulling out a sturdy pair of pants, a few shirts and pairs of woolen socks, and a towel. Washroom's in here, he said, nudging the door open and setting the small stack down carefully. You take as much time as you need. We'll be in the kitchen when you're done. Bucky's eyebrows were furrowed in either confusion or concentration, but he didn't say anything. Just nodded in agreement and closed the door softly behind Roy. Dinner was awkward, but certainly not quiet. Leanne had taken the appearance of their unexpected visitor with all the aplomb a 5-year-old could muster. She chattered away as fast as she could manage while still eating her food, peppering Bucky with questions too fast for Roy to redirect the ones that seemed to make him uncomfortable. Fortunately, she didn't give him time to answer any of the questions anyway. Another good thing to come out of all this was that despite having quiet time while Roy and Clint had gone to investigate the barn, it was clear that all of the excitement of a new friend at dinner had tired Leanne out enough that she didn't put up too much of a struggle when told it was time for bed. She had to do her rounds to say goodnight to everyone first, though, of course. Clint picked her up for an enormous goodnight hug and twirled her around like she didn't have a stomach full of food that was liable to come back up if she got dizzy, which Roy would then have to clean up because they'd found out early on that Clint was prone to sympathetic vomiting. Lucky barked excitedly and licked Leanne's face like he wasn't going to sneak his way up to sleep at the foot of her bed as soon as he could get away with it. Roy winced slightly when she attacked Bucky's legs for an enthusiastic hug without asking first, but luckily he didn't seem too perturbed by the embrace. He reached down awkwardly to pat her on the back in response, a slightly bewildered look on his face. "Good night, everyone!" she shouted at the top of her lungs, waving excitedly as she ran up the stairs. Roy shook his head fondly and followed her up, knowing he was likely leaving an awkward conversation in Clint's hands, in exchange for reading enough bedtime stories to satisfy Leanne. Not that that was a bad thing, he told himself. He was very proud of her and how good she was at reading already. Hell, he hadn't learned how to read until he was a teenager, and Clint never had at all. Leanne was going to grow up with the best education the two of them could get her so that she had better options than either of them had ever had. Even if it meant reading the same damn stories out loud every night because they only had the one book right now. When he came back down the stairs, Roy was so distracted with a half-baked idea of writing down some of the wild yarns Clint could come up with into a second book of stories that he'd almost forgotten about the rest of the day's events. Everything came crashing back to him at the sight of the two men sitting at the table, Clint looking aggressively pleased with himself, Bucky looking faintly nervous. "Bucky's agreed to stay on for a bit," Clint announced. "If that's okay," Bucky added, shooting Roy a look like he half expected to be kicked out. Bit rude, considering he was wearing Roy's clothes right now, but he could see how one might look at Clint's open and welcoming facade and draw the conclusion that Roy was the stickler for safety and standards. It wasn't an incorrect assumption, just an incomplete one. "Fine by me," Roy said, pulling out a chair and sitting down with them. "Where's he gonna sleep?" Clint blanched a little and looked somewhat frantically around at the main room of the house, which had a decided lack of comfortable places to lay down. Shit. Roy smirked, just a little, knowing he'd caught Clint off guard. "I could sleep in the barn." "No," Roy and Clint responded in unison. "Dude, there's so much crap in there we haven't cleaned out yet," Clint groaned. "You'd end up with a rusty nail through your foot or something, and no one wants to deal with that." "Roof's not watertight either," Roy added. "Wait, it's not?" Clint asked. "No, there's that line of shingles missing off the north side, remember?" "Oh yeah." Clint chewed his lip briefly, then closed his eyes and shook his head slowly. "One of these days we'll actually get around to fixing that place up." Roy nodded. It was on their list of things to get done, had been from the start. It was just never important enough to be at the top of that list, so it always got pushed off to later. He eyed the room thoughtfully. If they shifted the table over a bit, there might be enough space for someone to lay comfortably. "We We've got a couple bedrolls and a load of quilts up in the attic we could lay out in that corner, long as you don't mind something kind of makeshift for tonight. Can fix it up better in the morning. Clint eyed the proposed space critically. Might work, if we shift the table over. That's what I was thinking, Roy nodded. Gonna have to be quiet, but... Just gotta lift it up off the floor instead of dragging, Clint said. As long as that setup sounds okay to you, of course, he added, shifting his attention to their guest. Bucky shrugged. Slept in worse places. His face twisted as he said it, either regretting the revelation or worrying that he'd just insulted their hospitality. Roy didn't make him sweat. Well, it'll certainly be better than sleeping in that barn, he said with a wink. All right, let's see how quietly the three of us can move this table. They managed, somehow, to not scrape any of the chairs along the floor, and the only person to get hurt was Clint, who managed to set one of the heavy table legs directly onto his foot. Roy made a promise to himself to never let Clint live that moment down, both because it was hilarious, and he wasn't able to laugh at his partner as loudly as he wanted to, and because Clint had a tendency to get weird and overly manly about accepting help with carrying heavy shit. While Clint checked his foot to make sure it wasn't broken, Roy snuck quietly upstairs to grab the extra bedding they had stashed away for the cold winter nights. They'd have to figure something else out by the time the weather got colder, he thought to himself. Well, if Bucky was still with them at that point. Don't get ahead of yourself, he told himself firmly as he set up the makeshift bed and retreated to the bedroom with a murmured goodnight to Bucky. He left the door halfway open, earning a raised eyebrow but no commentary from Clint, who was already snuggled in and half asleep. It wasn't that he thought anything was necessarily going to happen overnight, but just in case he did, he wanted to be able to react as quickly as possible. Roy half expected Bucky to leave during that first night, but he didn't. He didn't leave the next day either, or the next, or the next. They built a rough cot and a folding screen to put around it so he could have some privacy. They taught him how to work on the farm, learning new techniques from him along the way. They exchanged favorite recipes and tall tales around the fire after dinner. They integrated him into their lives. Some days, Bucky went with Clint to deal with all the damn corn they were growing. Some days he stayed with Roy to work with the vegetable garden. Some days, after he'd tentatively asked for permission that was immediately and enthusiastically granted, he spent time in the barn tinkering with the machines. Neither Roy nor Clint had the time or the know-how to fix the machines after however many years of neglect, but if Bucky could get even one of them up and running, it would greatly improve their day-to-day farming. By the time the summer storm season finally arrived, Roy was incredibly happy that Bucky had joined them, and not just for how helpful he was around the farm. He started to open up a bit more, smiling more often, making the occasional tentative joke. He was good with Lucky and the two young goats they'd finally picked up. He was patient with Leanne, too, with her endless curious questions and inherent nosiness. Roy wanted Bucky to stay forever, even if he hadn't really had any time alone with Clint since the man had shown up. They tried to steal the occasional moment when they could. Right now, Bucky was tinkering off in the barn, and Roy was keeping an eye on Leanne as she harvested cherry tomatoes. It was a good job for her, and Lucky, though she definitely ate about twice as many as ended up in her little basket. Roy didn't mind that, though. They needed to figure out something to do to use all the tomatoes soon anyway. The cellar was already bursting, and the vines were still heavy with unripe fruit. Roy and Clint were technically taking a break from the never-ending weeding that neither of them had known was such a big part of farming before they decided to take it up. Clint lounged dramatically against Roy, complaining in a well-worn speech about how much he hated the bugs, and the weeds, and the vague scent of shit from the fertilizer, and, it was your decision to come out here and be farmers, Roy interrupted with a smile. Ugh, don't remind me, Clint said, flopping his head back pathetically. Don't let me decide anything ever again. Obviously, I'm no good at it. I don't know, some of your decisions have turned out pretty well. I suppose. Deciding to go after you turned out pretty well, Clint said, leering and batting his eyelashes outrageously. Roy laughed, shaking his head fondly. You've made other good decisions, too, he prodded. If you say so. Clint turned his gaze towards the barn, and Roy knew they were both thinking about the man inside. Inviting Bucky to stay with us has been a pretty good decision so far. You want him, don't you? Roy asked softly. Clint shrugged self-consciously. I mean, yeah, kinda. Don't get me wrong, I don't need him. I'm happy with you. It's just, no, I know, Roy said. He felt the same way after all. They were both prone to that, to falling fast and easy for people. And they both knew exactly how hard it was when those people walked away forever. He's been looking, Clint added, at both of us. Yeah. Clint might be the one people called Hawkeye, but Roy had eyes too. He'd seen the way Bucky looked at them. He just wasn't convinced the man wouldn't run off if they asked if he wanted more. Roy felt Clint's head thunk down onto his shoulder and he reflexively brought his arm up around his partner. It'll be all right, he soothed, kissing Clint gently on the top of his head. He's stuck around this long. There's always hope he'll stay for the long haul, he added, though he wasn't sure how much he believed his own words. Not 2 days later, there were storm clouds on the horizon, and Roy could feel an itch growing between his shoulders, while he watched Bucky push hair out of his face with a faint look of irritation. If your hair's giving you trouble, we could trim it black. I got clippers, Roy added, scratching his back fruitlessly. A faint look of inexplicable fear crossed over Bucky's face. No, he grunted. Thank you, though, he added, almost as an afterthought. You want me to braid it instead? Clint kept his own hair short and shaggy, claiming he couldn't stand the feel of it on his neck, but he delighted in working Roy and Leanne's hair into delicate, intricate braids. Roy had always wondered where Clint had learned that skill. A sister, maybe? But he had never asked. Bucky sat down slightly awkwardly in front of Clint, who took his time gently combing through the shoulder-length locks before pulling them together into a simple three-stranded braid. Of course, Leanne then asked Clint to do her hair as well so she could have matching braids with Bucky. Roy's heart twisted a bit watching the soft scene, and it replayed in his mind several times before he finally fell asleep. Much later that night, he woke up with his heart racing like he'd just run a mile. He got out of bed carefully so as not to disturb Clint, and walked quietly out to the main room of the house to try to figure out why he was suddenly so wide awake. Not quietly enough, though. Bucky sat up before Roy had gotten even halfway into the room. What's wrong? He whispered. I'm not sure, Roy replied. Maybe nothing, just a feeling. You get those a lot? Roy stared at him, speechless, while Bucky's eyebrows inched their way up his forehead. Trust your gut, he said, throwing off his blankets and getting up silently. You think something's going on, it probably is. He was right. Roy peeked out through one of the front windows and swore under his breath before making a hasty retreat back towards the bedroom to get Clint up and moving. What is it? He asked, rubbing sleep from his eyes. Men approaching the house. At least 8, maybe more, Roy said quietly. It's Hydra. They're here for me. Roy turned to stare at Bucky, and he could see Clint do the same. Roy had never personally encountered Hydra before, though he'd certainly heard of them. Clint, on the other hand, had had quite a few run-ins with them. He wasn't a fan. That's why you were in our barn, Roy realized. You were running from them? Yes. I'm so sorry. I should have left earlier. If I give myself up, they might leave you alone, Bucky said, like he was already resigned to the idea. Fuck that, Clint said with feeling, swinging his long legs out of bed and pulling on his pants. I told you, trouble comes looking for you, we'll handle it. That hasn't changed. Do you know how to shoot? Roy asked Bucky. Yes, but... He trailed off, speechless, as Clint unlocked the wardrobe and pulled out his blades, both of their bows, and a series of pistols and ammo. Who are you? He asked in wonder. Hawkeye and Arsenal at your service, Clint said with a cocky grin and an irreverent salute. I'll take the attic, pick off as many as I can, Roy said, bringing their attention back to the problem at hand. You two stay down here. Take out anyone who gets too close. No one's getting through that door, Clint promised, sliding one sword out of its sheath and doing one of those fancy whirls that had charmed Roy when they first met. You get yourself hurt, I'm going to be pissed, Roy warned him. Yeah, I know, Clint said, eyes soft. Go, we've got this. He kissed Clint quickly on the cheek, clapped his arm on Bucky's shoulder, and headed up the stairs to the attic. Lucky raised his head from where he was laying at the foot of the bed, but Leanne didn't stir at all, thankfully, just stayed sprawled out dramatically with her mouth hanging open. Roy shook his head fondly, then grimaced. He should probably get her to the cellar so that she was hidden just in case the worst should happen. But if they could manage to deal with this quietly enough that she slept through it all. He sidled up to the side of the open window and peered out to take stock of the situation. There was a reason they'd chosen this particular abandoned farmhouse to settle down in rather than one of the myriad others dotting the plains. It didn't sit on a hilltop, but the sight lines in all directions were perfectly clear. The attic had windows in each of the four walls, allowing even a novice sniper to defend his home turf with ease. And Roy was no novice. Pulling an arrow out of his quiver, he set to work. It was hard to see clearly with the moon but a sliver and the storm picking up, but that just made the challenge all the more exhilarating for Roy. He felt a twinge of guilt when he realized he was enjoying himself. They'd had good reasons to give up this life, but damn if he didn't miss it sometimes. Through some combination of luck and skill, the impromptu skirmish went about as well as Roy could have hoped for. Leanne woke up briefly at the very end, somehow able to sleep through the exchange of gunfire that had been happening downstairs, but not through Lucky getting off the bed to try to lick Roy's face. He was able to soothe her back to sleep quickly and headed downstairs to regroup with the others. When everything settled, there were 10 dead bodies scattered around the house, and only one man had made it up on the porch to meet Clint's blades. "We should deal with the bodies before morning," Bucky said softly, while the three of them stood staring out at the rain-drenched aftermath. "At least get him somewhere Leanne won't see." "Gonna be a fucking nightmare in this weather," Clint groaned. "Let's go." Moving dead bodies was a thankless task, even in the best of conditions, and Roy's adrenaline crash, compounded with the lack of sleep and terrible weather, just made it all around terrible. The only saving grace was that at least he didn't have to do it alone. "I'll leave in the morning," Bucky said quietly once they were done. Roy felt Clint stiffen beside him. "Do you want to leave?" Roy heard himself ask, knowing that the answer might break his heart a little bit, but hoping that it wouldn't. "There's bullet holes in your house. If they'd hurt either of you, or if they'd gotten to Leanne or Lucky..." "They didn't," Clint said firmly. "But they could have," Bucky argued. "They could come back and try again." "They might come back anyway," Roy pointed out. "If you want to leave, we're not going to force you to stay." Cards on the table. "We don't want you to leave," he admitted. "We want you to stay here, with us. And I think you want that too." Bucky stared at him, unable or unwilling to say anything. Clint took his hand, very gently, and started to lead him back home. "Been a long night for all of us. Let's try to get what sleep we can." They didn't talk about it that night, or the next night, or the next, or the next. But they moved the table back to its original place, stored the cot up in the attic, placed the quilts away in their chest to wait for winter. There was room enough in the bed for all three of them. The end.